listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We're joined on the phone this afternoon from halfway around the world in Jinja, Uganda, Beverly Rich with Called Christians. On the phone, or actually on Skype with us today. Hi, Beverly. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good today. Just crazy like usual. How is it on that side of the world?
Well, you may not have heard that a couple days ago we had about 6 inches of snow, but as you are familiar with Albuquerque, the snow's already melted and we're back to 60 degree weather. So no less unusual than it always is here.
Hooray. Well, when I come in January, I expect you to be rid of all that snow, okay? Because I haven't driven in snow in over 20 years now. So thank you.
Now, are you pretty warm? Is it summer months where you are now?
Yes, we're going into our really hot summer. December, January, February is summer. But, you know, Jinja, except for February, usually, you know, year round is like in the 80s and 90s, you know, 80s, 70s. So it's a real temperate and marvelous climate. So I'm not going to be used to July in Texas or January in Albuquerque.
Well, I wish I could guarantee you that we weren't going to have any snow. They've already predicted that we were going to have light snow this year, but this is one of the largest snowstorms that we've ever had. In fact, the mountains in northern New Mexico had as much as 18 inches of snow in less than 24 hours. So that's a lot of snow.
No. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm glad it's you and not me.
Hey, we'll just get somebody to chauffeur you around. How would that be?
I absolutely think that's wonderful. Absolutely.
Hey, Bev,
Bev,
we want to talk about your ministry. And as our listeners are listening today, I want to make sure they know they can go to calledchristians.org. You have a great website, all kinds of information about the ministry and all the work that you're doing. But I'm going to ask you now, you went out there with your husband, Jesse, many years ago. You lost Jesse in 2014, but you've continued forward. Very courageous, by the way, young lady. I appreciate all your efforts out there. Tell us about Called Christians and what you're doing in Jinja.
Well, Called Christians was started in 1991 by Jay and Sonny McLaughlin. And Jay was an ordained pastor. Skip ordained him out of Calvary, Albuquerque. And then in 1996-97, Jess was in the School of Ministry. And then this became our outreach. And Jay and Sonny asked us to come back, and so we came back to work with them. God was very, very clear about coming back to work with them. And in 2004, they retired, and we took over. And some of our main ministries here, our focus is discipleship. Uganda has been evangelized, and so, but they say, you know, the Christianity here is about 1 inch deep. But we want to help people, and then all the way across. But we want to help people grow closer and closer to Christ and to actually just have a relationship and learn who God is and know him. And so there are not a lot of discipleship ministries here. There are a lot of humanitarian ministries that then would have kind of gospel on the side. But the focus of Called Christians is to bring people to Christ and then to move them deeper in with the Lord. And to do that, we have a lot of different ministries. One is the prisons ministry. We, when we're not in COVID, teach to about 2,000 men and women every week, twice a week, in 7 different government prisons. And we've been doing that. Jay and Sonny even started that before Jess and I came in 98. We have a school of ministry here that Jesse had patterned after the one at Calvary Church there in Albuquerque. It's changed a bit now because once Jesse passed, Pastor Isaac Wooten took it over. And so he has only guys come and they stay 24/7 for 2 years and then go out as fully trained men. We have several village ministries where Jesse trained up the pastors and now they have thriving ministries. And I just have to plug for those guys the Calvary Chapel East Africa Pastor Conference this past year. When you looked around at all the men that were there, 75% of the men were either trained here in Jinja or trained by someone that came out of School of Ministry in Jinja. 75% of the Calvary Chapel East Africa pastors. So the seeds that were planted there so many years ago are just growing and growing and growing, and that's pretty exciting for us. And one of the other things we do is sponsor young people. and kids and then young people into school, because if you don't go to school here, all you can do for the rest of your life is either dig or be a porter and carry things for other people, or just be pregnant and be at home if you're a female. So they really have no opportunity to do anything physical unless they get education. And to tell you the truth, most of the kids that we raise up become our translators, or some of them even our pastors. They all work in the church. So we do that. And then we do big medical ministries. We pick up prisoners that are too sick to be treated in the prisons. We pick them up on our bus every week, every day, Monday through Friday, and take them to the hospital and get them treated and get their medicines and take them back. And we also supply the prison pharmacies. You know, they have clinics in there with medicine. And so we stock their pharmacies. But every single one of these things is to open the door to be able to share the gospel of Christ, to draw people to Christ, and then to have them go deeper and deeper in their relationship with the Lord. And that's really our overall, our big picture here.
Bev, I want to ask you about, as you're doing all of this ministry, we know that God doesn't ever allow us to just do that in a vacuum. So what is the opposition, and how is it working with government authorities and other people of other faiths? I know you have a large Muslim contingent in your city as well.
We do. We have probably 30% of the country is Muslim, and they really don't like the Christians, and the Christians don't really like them. We work and live side by side, but neither cares much for the other, obviously. And when the Muslims come against the Christians, it's never by telling you what Islam believes. It's always by attacking what Christianity and the Bible say. And so one of the things that we do focus on is systematic theology, so we know what we believe, and apologetics, so that we can, it's not just the Muslim, it's Seventh Day and Mormon and Baha'i and, you know, all kinds of other many, many Hindus here. And so one of the things we believe is that you need to know what you believe, but you also know how to defend what you believe. Two mechanics have actually come to our schools of ministry because most mechanics here are Muslim, and they did not know how to defend their faith, being down in the Juakali section, which is the working men's section. And so it's difficult here. Too, many, many of the Christian churches are prosperity gospel. And, you know, come to Christ and you're never going to have a problem again. And you're going to be rich and you're going to get a visa and you're going to get a car and all these things. And you'll never have another problem. So give your money, give your money. And then people give their money and then they don't get rich. And they say, oh, this Jesus is just a liar. And then they leave those churches thinking that they're leaving Jesus, but they never really heard Jesus in the first place. They just heard who these other people said was Jesus. And so then that's the really hardest part, is people that have gone to a church that doesn't teach the true gospel. Then they turn away thinking they're turning away from this Jesus liar, when they never really knew him in the first place. And that's one of the hardest things to deal with. Another thing is that pretty well everyone here was raised in witchcraft. In America, we don't think of it much. Halloween is coming up, so we don't think much about witchcraft. But here, every family has a shrine in their yard at their tribal, you know, home, dedicated to their ancestral gods. They call them their ancestral demons. And so everyone here has been raised up on the worship or the acknowledgement of these demons. And so there's a lot of spiritual warfare. And people will come into church and then they'll go right out of church and go to the local witch doctor and get a spell for whatever they want. So it's a different atmosphere in that kind of way. There's a lot of opposition. Some of it comes from other religions, and some of it comes from people that think that they belong to Christ. So it's real interesting sometimes.
Well, and Bev, being from the good old land of enchantment, we have some similar type spiritual atmosphere here in this state, don't we?
Yes, you do. I used to teach in a psychiatric hospital there at Memorial when I was in Albuquerque years and years ago. And I think that was when I was there was one of the first demon-possessed people I ever saw. And it was someone from that kind of background that had done those things that worship something besides God. And that was really scary, to tell you the truth. So, yeah, you deal with that too.
Well, you understand spiritual warfare. You know your Bible. You've been teaching and encouraging people for a really long time. How long now have you been running the Called Christians? I didn't do the math.
We came in February of 1998, so this February I will have been here 23 years.
Oh, what a neat ministry. Bev, you mentioned before earlier in the conversation that you knew God had called you to Uganda. How did you know that?
Well, when Jess gave his life to the Lord, we thought he was saved when we got married, but surprise, he found out at a Promise Keepers meeting that he really wasn't, and he gave his life to the Lord standing in a trash bag in the rain, and he came home from Promise Keepers a completely different man than the one that had gone there. And so within the year, we started doing a study called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Most people know it. And God very clearly was calling Jess and I to missions. So we started applying, and nobody wanted us, not even an orphanage that just wanted a warm body to hold children. They all rejected us. And then this unbelievable door, we had never even been to New Mexico, this unbelievable door opened for Jess to go to the School of Ministry in Albuquerque. And then we went on the outreach to finish the school to Jinja, Uganda, to work with Jay and Sonny. And they asked us to come back. And we said we'd pray about it. And Jesse was a ski lift mechanic at Copper Mountain. And so on the way to Copper, his first day back, because he was experienced, so they wanted him back. And on the way, he said, Lord, you know I don't know how to raise money. I have no idea how to get funds. So if you want me to go out on the mission field, Lord, you're going to have to raise my funds for me. Well, he got there and he went over to the carpenter shop, and then one of the workers from the vehicle shop came in and he said, hey, I heard you've just been to Uganda and you're going back as a missionary. Well, I've just been to Ethiopia. So if you ever go back, I want you to let me know so I can support you. Mm-hmm. And Jess said, hold on just a minute. And he went outside and he said, okay, Lord, you just told me you're going to support me. How long? And God said, 6 months. And 6 months later, we had sold our house and everything we had, and we're here in Jinja, Uganda. But God was very clear about it.
What a great story. Bev, we can't go very far in any kind of interview without asking you about the effects of COVID-19 on your community and your country in Uganda. What's happening out there?
Well, we've been locked down completely since the last week in March. Churches are completely closed. Most businesses closed. All the schools have closed. We weren't allowed to take, you couldn't even ride in a car. Now they've slowly started loosening the restrictions, but it's after so many people here have starved. So one of the main ministries that we did, since we're not able to go in the prisons, we're not able to go in the schools, we have a big hospital ministry where we go to the hospital and pray for people. We can't do that right now. We can't have Bible studies. So all of the funds that would normally have gone to those ministries, we fed people. We fed probably 1,000 families during March, April, and May. And just to keep them from starving. And after that amount of time, most of them had been able to either shift back to the village where, people at least grow crops so you could eat. But most of the businesses were closed. So, people weren't making any salaries. So we've been doing a lot of those kinds of things. In fact, Ugandans were pretty upset about having to close because they said they'd rather die from COVID than starve to death. And it's been very difficult, and even now many things are opening back up, but everybody's done with it, so they're not social distancing, they're not wearing their masks. Everywhere you go, you have to sanitize and wear a mask and all those things, but we're just now beginning to get into COVID. We've only had today 108 deaths, registered deaths in Uganda, and we've had 11,000 cases, positive cases now. But it's been much safer here than where you are.
Yes, Well, we've had a lot of people that have been dying, but I'm not sure the percentages are that high in terms of death. And I can tell you, you know, we have a big election going on. We're in the middle of the presidential election. We have all 112 representatives of the state of New Mexico and our legislature and state senate up for reelection. New Mexico, unfortunately, Bev, and you know this as an educator, I don't know if you remember this from when you were here years ago, but New Mexico is last in education. We're last in third grade reading levels. We're about 48th in high school graduation rates. We've got, you know, just at the bottom of every good list you can think of, New Mexico is at the bottom. And I can't help but, you know, every day on ABQ Connect, we're putting a little plug out there about how important it is for the faith community to vote. And to vote their Bible is what we call it. We're not going to tell them who to vote for, but we hope that the Bible leads them to voting for people that are going to uphold Christian principles. And it's interesting to me because I have an investment person, Brian Cochran, who does investment management for a lot of people. And he says, look, not everybody who invests money with us is a believer. But what they've done is they've listened to the principles that we deploy in our investment counseling, and they are biblical principles, but they buy into those principles even though they don't believe in the Bible because they work, because they're true. And so the word still is evidence of God's power even to people who don't believe, and I know you believe that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we've tried so hard to do as we minister physically here is to make sure that people know that, you know, God loves them and to get in the Word. But, you know, there's not a big literacy rate here, and 50% of Ugandans are below the age of 15. And so, you know, and so they don't read a whole lot, so it's hard to get in the Word. So that's one of the reasons they're so deceived. Is because they can't or don't read it for themselves. And so I understand about that education level being low and those kinds of things. I can only pray that people really do vote their Bible. We're about to go through our big election here as well. And corruption here is just unbelievable. And I wish people would turn to Christ and vote their hearts in the Lord. I wish people would do that.
Well, I think we have a different culture. We maybe have a little bit higher education level, but I'm not sure that, you know, people don't take action until I think they feel pain. And I think in the United States, they're finally feeling some pain. So I'm hoping that motivates a lot of people. They say that we've had over 600,000 people in New Mexico with a population of a little bit less than 2 million. We've had 600,000 people already vote. So we're encouraged about that. Bev, I want to ask you about how our listeners listening to this program right now, you obviously operate, you need donations. You're buying medicine, you're buying food, you're sustaining a pretty big community. How can our listeners come alongside you?
Well, obviously during COVID, a lot of listeners have lost their jobs as well. Our support has been really down, except to tell you the truth, for the support that KNKT has been raising for us, that you guys have helped. Our Calvary Church takes our donations for us. We live strictly on donations, although I will say that for this past couple of years, because the funding has been low, I've actually been using my retirement each month. I figure if I can ask people to support the mission, I can too. So I've been using my retirement to top up. But other than that, we function solely on donations. And, of course, you can go on the Calvary Church and look for the missions page and find out, or you can call Calvary Church and find out, you know, how to donate to us. And then it's on that calledchristians.org website as well. But like right now, we're out of Bibles. Mm-hmm. We supply medicine for the prisons and for the hospitals. People haven't been able like there to go to the hospital to visit their people, their relatives. But here you don't get your drugs and food and all those things in the hospital. Your relatives have to go and get those things for you and bring them to the hospital and feed you. And bring your medications and all that. And since no one's been able to go, but we've worked closely with the hospital here for so many years, our social worker works with their social worker. And we've actually been feeding all of the people in isolation from COVID. We've been feeding the accident victims. We've been helping transport people back home because no one was allowed to go in transport. So things like that. Someone rolled our car. I need to have the car repaired, you know, but it's just different things like that. But through these different ways, you can, like I said, through Calvary Church and through the Called Christians website, you can find how to donate. And I have to tell you, you know, $5 buys a Bible. Mm-hmm. And that puts a Bible in someone's hand. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to calledchristians.org. I just am amazed at all the things that you're doing because some people would get overwhelmed, but you really are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You've been gifted. You've had people come alongside you. I'm encouraged about the pastoral ministry that's going on in really a large part of not only Uganda, but other parts of Africa because of what you guys have done with Called Christians. So if our listeners can go to calledchristians.org and take a look at it, you can make donations directly, or you can go to Calvary Church, CalvaryNM.church, and click on the missions tab, and it'll take you down to about 6 or 8, 10 missionaries, including Bev Rich in Jinja, Uganda. Her ministry is called Called Christians, and she has so many things that they're doing. She's already reviewed for us. They have a school of ministry. They're training people up. They're providing medicine, medical support. They have youth ministry, prison ministry. And COVID has really affected the actions of a lot of those. But you are diverting support to other things like feeding people in the hospital, feeding people that are in isolation, and providing medicine. And that's just amazing. So we appreciate all your efforts very much. Tell me what you have in terms of your physical complex and what some immediate needs might be for repairs and construction and those type of things, Bev.
Well, we are on about 1.5 acres. We have a large building that houses Pastor Isaac and his family of 8 and our entire school of ministry and then guests when we have them. And actually, that building has pretty well been falling apart for some time. And we have bats in the ceiling, which you don't want to hear about. And then we have the church, yeah, and we have the church on the compound, and our baptistry was leaking, and so we had to tear the whole thing apart and rebuild it. We're in the process of rebuilding, and our Bibles are just destroyed right now because we've been using them for a few years, and people here don't have their own Bibles, so they come to church, and we hand out Bibles, and then we pick them up at the end of the service. And then we, because of social distancing, instead of sitting on benches in the church, we had to go and buy chairs. And so now we have plastic chairs, but that was a big expense. Like I said, one of our vehicles rolled, and so I have to repair that. And there are just a lot of, we have my houses on the compound. We have many staff that live here. We have another staff house just up the street. We're a big place. We've got like 40 different staff members here. And so, and they actually have to have a new floor. And, you know, so those are the practical kinds of things. Then, of course, we have, like I said, 40 staff, and I have to pay those guys and do their medical and make sure they don't all starve to death and things like that. So, you know, we're just a big compound. And to tell you the truth, Jesse is also buried on this compound. So that's how we are. We're a big place.
You're a big place. Bev, I don't know if this is an appropriate question considering the restriction of COVID, but you already mentioned that you kind of got to know about that ministry through Jay and Sonny McLaughlin. And you came out and visited. Mm-hmm. So are you hoping that once things open up a little bit, that some people, maybe some contractors that are called to, even on a short-term mission, come out and help you with some of these things?
Wouldn't that be amazing? Actually, everything needs painting, every single thing. But, you know, and then there are some buildings that need to be done. So contractors would be great, too. But we were supposed to have a team in August and no, one in September and one in October, and of course they got canceled. So we do have a team coming in May and one in June, but I'm not sure anyone is doing physical things, but wow, wouldn't that be great? So we do have two teams coming, one actually from you guys, that Chip Lusko is going to be leading, mm-hmm. and then one from Calvary Church itself. So we're really excited about those. But if they want physical projects, trust me, we can find some.
Well, Bev, I guess I'm trying to stimulate our listeners into thinking creatively how God might be calling them to help you in your ministry out there. And again, all the plans have to be fluid right now because we don't really know the constructs of the restrictions in terms of travel and so forth. But, you know, there's no problem with planning and then trusting the Lord. And if we can't do it one month, I'm sure he'll open it up another month. So want to plant those seeds where people can be thinking about this, think about some of the needs that you've expressed, and maybe prepare to go out and help you. And are materials and things available? Like if somebody wanted to come out and do some construction, are materials available for them to do that?
There are materials, but you have to think of things like, oh, and I forgot, we do need to build a wall. We had us and President Trump, right? We need to build a wall because of thieves. But so there are materials, but you do it the old way. There's not nail guns here to be used, and you know, everything is basic and done by hand. It's a lot of physical labor, but they do very well with it, you know. And like I said, there are, you know, we can buy the cement, we can buy iron bars, we can buy all that stuff here. It's just then you have to be able to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. Bev, tell us about the people of Uganda and why you love them so much.
Ooh, I love Uganda. I love Uganda, and I love Ugandans. And one of the things that everyone knows about Ugandans is that they are the most hospitable people you could ever, ever imagine. When you go to visit someone in their village or their church or whatever, you don't leave without them giving you a gift. And you may be so wealthy compared to, you know, you might have a car and they don't even have a bicycle. But before you leave, they will have fed you a meal with chicken, and then they will send you away with chickens and papayas and bananas. And, you know, you never leave someplace that they don't, you know, send you away with all these blessings. And whenever someone says, you know, well, how's things at your place? And it's like, well, I've got a lot of visitors right now. The first thing every Ugandan will say is, visitors are a blessing. Mm-hmm. And so that's just, you know, hospitality is the big, big thing here. It's pretty wonderful. And another thing that's really good about Ugandans is, you know, during AIDS, the big AIDS epidemic, now there's lots of drugs for it, but there's a whole generation that was missing. So what happens is, they take the children of the people that passed away and they divide them up among the family members, and each family member gets one or two of the kids and they raise them like their own. And you try not to put them in some orphanage or foster place or something like that. Your clan, your family, takes in those children and raises them. And I think that's a pretty amazing heart that the Ugandans have. They're just so generous and so kind.
Bev, it sounds like you're in an amazing place doing a lot of hard work, but it sounds like the returns and how you feel about what God's doing through you has really been a blessing to you and your family. How has your faith changed since you started working in the mission field?
To me, I mean, I came out here when I was 41, and that felt really, really young. And so I guess I just gave away my age. And I was, you know, on fire, but I don't think my faith was as deep. Make it in maybe one word: God's sovereignty. To me, every single day proves to me more and more and more that God is sovereign. He is in control, and I don't have to fear anything, and I don't really even have to worry. I don't worry. I stress over money because, doggone, I have to pay the bills. But you know, I'll just give you an example. Jesse should have lived far longer than me. He was an ultra marathoner, you know, amazingly healthy kind of person. So we always laughed that I had to live to be 86 so we could celebrate 50 years of marriage. But, and then a few years ago, I was the target of an armed robbery. A man pointed an AK-47 at my face and pulled the trigger, and I didn't die, and I should have died. But God said, that's not your day to die. And then Jesse woke up at 3 a.m. one morning with what he thought was heartburn, had two huge heart attacks, and was dead by 4, because that was the day God said, this is your day. And so we don't have to worry about things because God is sovereign. He knows everything. And when it's time for something, it's like, I'm not afraid of anything. Now, I'm nervous about getting COVID because if I die, who's going to run the mission? But God knows that too. And so I guess my trust in the fact that God knows all, is all, takes care of all, I guess that's what's really changed in my years in the mission field. Total trust, you know?
Bev, your words are encouraging us as you speak them, and I hope our listeners have been as encouraged as I am today. Thank you for spending time with us today on the radio on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for interviewing me. Thank you. And God bless Albuquerque.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.